Okay, good to see everybody. And so, we're going to chant the Dhamma Dharashtaka, as we normally do this month. Let's go.
I'm a fatti a giocare il gioco. Tata prima fatti
Tata Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Sabaya Chalana Dabakta Banana Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kichai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kichai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Kichai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kichai Prem Saikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Siddhwaita Garadha Jiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindagajai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shaim Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagajai Gaura Pradamanda Hari Hari Bhakta. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Sri Guru Gauranga. And I will read the translation. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vananda Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesa Sanyavadi Paschachateja Tarni. To the Supreme Controller who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in Gokula, who stole a butler that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately caught to that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful, and his breathing quick, and his mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright, and his pearl necklace shook. To the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, who was bound by his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drowned the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who were attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. to the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your child and pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your child and pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow, and am almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me, uplift me, and protect me with your nectarian vision. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva, and Nalakuvara, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound with a rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes. Lord Damodar Ki Jai. So now we will continue with our reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hold on a second, I have to pull it up. So we are on the 17th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we are on text 87 today, in the 17th chapter. Okay. So, Omagana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, so now we'll go on to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Okay. Text 87 in the 17th chapter of the Madhya Leela. And in this part of the Madhya Leela, we are hearing about Lord Chaitanya visiting Varanasi, and he has his devotees there who are waiting for him. And we're going to hear about this right now. He's on his way to Vrindavan. So it's Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhara, who he sent there beforehand to wait for him when he was on his way to Vrindavan. And there's a reason for that. We'll find out why they especially had to be there and what pastimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has in Varanasi, Kashi, when he's dealing with the Mayavadi sannyasis. This is a very important pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that's much later. But right now we're going to hear about his interactions with Chandrasekhara and also with other devotees there. Hold on a second. Okay, text 87. Gauri lana aila prabhu ke anandita na seva kari nurcha kari vastra udana. With great pleasure, Tapan Mishra brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and rendered service unto him. Indeed, he began to dance, waving his cloth. Prabhura charanodaka savam sri kaila pana bhattacharya rabuja kaila karya samana. He washed the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and afterwards he and his whole family drank the wash water. He also worshipped Balabhadra Bhattacharya and showed him respect. So this is the proper way to receive an honored guest at home. Prabhure nimantrana karigare vikshadila Balabhadra Bhattacharya pakakarayila. Tapan Mishra invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take lunch at his home, and he had Balabhadra Bhattacharya cook. And Prabhupada explains, while staying, or while at Varanasi, Benares, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Tapan Mishra. Near Tapan Mishra's house was a bathing ghat known as the Panchanodayi Ghata. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take his bath daily at this ghat, and he used to see the temple of Bindu Madhava. Let me just move this thing a little bit. That's good. Then he would take his lunch at Tapan Mishra's house. Near the Bindu Madhava temple is a big banyan tree, and it is said that after eating, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to rest beneath the tree. That banyan tree is still known as Chaitanya Bhata. Gradually, due to changes in language, the name became Yatanavata. The local people still call that place Yatanavata. At present, beside a lane, there's a tomb of Balabhacharya, but there is no sign that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever lived there. Balabhacharya was also known as Mahaprabhu among his disciples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu probably lived at Yatanavata, but there's no sign of Chandrasekhar's or Tapan Mishra's house, nor is there any sign of the Mayavadi sannyasi Prakashananda Saraswati, with whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed the Vedanta Sutra. A little distance from Yatanavata is a temple of Gaur Nityananda established by Shashibhushana Niyogi Mahasaya of Calcutta during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This temple was managed by the mother-in-law of Shashibhushana and his brother-in-law, Narayana Chandra Gosha. Bhiksha Kari Mahaprabhu Karila Shayana Mishraputra Ragukare Pada Samvahana. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his rest after lunch, the son of Tapan Mishra named Raghu used to massage his legs. Prabhura Shishana Mishra Savangshe Kaila Prabhu Aila Shuni Chandrasekhara Aila. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were taken by the whole family of Tapan Mishra when news spread that the Lord had come. Chandrasekhara came to see him. Mishra Saka Teno Prabhura Purvadasa Vaija Jati Likanavriti Varanasi Vasa. Chandrasekhara happened to be a friend of Tapan Mishra's, and he was known to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his servant. He was a physician by caste, and by profession he was a clerk. At that time he was living in Varanasi. Asi Prabhu Padi Padi Karena Rodana Prabhu Ti Tanri Kripaya Kaila Alingana. When Chandrasekhara came there and fell down before the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and began to cry, the Lord, standing up, embraced him out of his causeless mercy. Chandrasekhara Kai Prabhu Bada Kripa Kaila Apane Asya Vrije Darashana Dila. Chandrasekhara said, "My dear Lord, you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon me because I am your old servant. Indeed, you have come here personally to give me your audience." Apana prarabdeva sivaranasi stane maya brahma shabda bina nahi shuni kane. Due to my past deeds, I'm residing at Varanasi, but here I do not hear anything but the words maya and Brahman. The word prarabdha, past age, is important in this verse. Since Chandrasekhar was a devotee, he was always eager to hear about Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. Most of the inhabitants of Benares were and are impersonalists, worshippers of Lord Shiva and followers of the Panchopashana method. So now we're going to describe what the Panchopashana method is. The impersonalists imagine some form of the impersonal Brahman, and to facilitate meditation, they concentrate upon the forms of Vishnu, Shiva, Ganesh, Surya, and Goddess Durga. Actually, these Panchopashakas are not devotees of anyone, as it is said to be a servant of everyone is to be a servant of no one. Varanasi or Kashi is the chief holy place of pilgrimage for impersonalists, and it is not at all suitable for devotees. A Vaishnava likes to live in a Vishnu Tirtha, a place where Lord Vishnu's temples are present. In Varanasi, there are many hundreds and thousands of Lord Shiva's temples, or Panchopashaka temples. Consequently, Chandrasekhar expressed great unhappiness as he informed Lord Chaitanya that he was obliged to live at Benares due to his past misdeeds. As said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Durjatyarambakam papam yatsyat prarabdham eva tat. According to one's past misdeeds, one takes birth on a lower platform. But in the Brahma Sangita, in the 5th chapter, text 54, it is said, Karmani nirhati kintu chavakti bhajam. There is no karma attached to the past deeds or misdeeds of one in devotional service. A devotee is not subjected to karma pala, the effect of fruit of activity. Karma pala is applicable to karmis, not bhaktas. So why was Chandrasekhar in Benares? Well, this was Lord's plan, so that the Lord could have a discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati and other Mayavadis and show the superiority of devotional service, how the bhaktas are the ones with the real understanding, the true understanding of the Vedanta Sutras. Hold on a second, I've got to make a change here. Okay. This is important. I don't want to lose this thing. One second. Okay, that's good. There are three kinds of devotees. Those who are eternally on the transcendental platform, Nichasiddha, those who have been elevated to the transcendental platform by the execution of devotional service, Sadhanasiddha, and those who are neophytes advancing toward the perfectional platform, Sadhaka. The Sadhakas are gradually becoming free from fruit of reaction. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.17 describes the symptoms of Bhakti Yoga thus. So these are the symptoms of pure devotional service, actually. Kleshadni shupada moksha lagu kutakrit sudurlaba sandrananda vishet vishatma shri krishna karshani chasa. I should translate this for you. Okay. Kleshadni means gets rid of what? The kleshas. The disturbances in this world, adiatmik, adibodhik, adidaiva, because your consciousness raises so high or rises so high that you're not aware of the crisis. Shubha, da. Means you get some. It's auspicious. Everything becomes auspicious. Moksha, laghutu, laghuta, krit. Means that you decry the whole idea of what? Liberation. I don't want to get liberated. I just want to serve. Sorry. I know it got a little emotional there. Suru, Duralaba. It is really difficult to get or rarely achieved, as Prabhupada says. Sandrananda Visheshatma. It is ecstatic. Unlimited ecstasy. And Sri Krishna Karshani Chasat, it is the means to attract Krishna. So Prabhupada explains, devotional service is klesha ni, even for beginners. This means that it reduces or nullifies all kinds of suffering, which is what I just said. The word shubhada indicates that devotional service bestows all good fortune, auspiciousness, and the word Krishna Akarshani indicates that devotional service gradually attracts Krishna toward the devotee. Consequently, a devotee is not subject to any sinful reaction. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, text 66, Krishna says, Sarva dharman purushaja mamikam sharanam brajaham tvam sarva papi bhyo mokshi shami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So in other words, whatever happens to a devotee is not karma, it's Krishna. And sometimes Krishna puts you in certain circumstances, such as when he sent Chandrasekhar to Benares, because Krishna has a plan. Sometimes Krishna puts you in difficulty, because Krishna has a plan to purify you. Maybe you don't want to get purified. Krishna wants you to get purified. So, anyway, purification. I remember when I first joined the movement, everything that happened was purification. If you ate too many chili peppers and had digestive problems, you were getting purified. If the temple president yelled at you, you were getting purified. If you got a cold, you were getting purified. I mean, that's taking purification too far and excusing all types of misbehavior in the name of purification. But anyway, so, but Krishna purifies us. He takes away things that we're really attached to. I mean, all we can do is chant Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You take it away, everything. Oh, Krishna, and everyone doesn't like me. All I can do is chant Krishna's name. Hari Bol. But if you're not ready for that, Krishna will do that. Don't worry. Thus, a fully surrendered, sincere devotee immediately receives relief from all kinds of sinful reactions. There are three stages of fructification for sinful activity. At one stage, one commits the sinful activity. Before that, the seed of this act exists. And before that, there is ignorance, whereby one commits the sin. So let's go back a little bit. So there's ignorance, and there's the inclination, which is called kuta. And after that, there is the papabija, the seed of action. Then there's the actual karma, the action. And then there's the aparabdha karma and prarabdha karma. That means the karma that just hasn't yet fructified and the karma that is fructified. Anyway, how do you know that your karma is fructifying? Well, look at yourself in the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Whose karma have I seen? Anyway, can't make it rhyme. Mirror, mirror on the wall. That's my karma. That's my fall. Anyway, so whatever. Try to make things rhyme. Suffering is involved in all three stages. In ignorance, and the seed, the action, and the reaction. However, Krishna is merciful to his devotees, and consequently immediately nullifies all three stages. The sin, the seed of the sin, and the ignorance that leads one to the sin. Those are the three stages. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena maham upayantite. He gives you knowledge, fries the seed, and then you don't do the sin, and then you don't get a reaction. The Padma Purana confirms this. Aparabdha palam papam kutam bijam palon makam kame naiva palieta vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. For a further explanation of this topic, the nectar devotion should be consulted. Very important. Nectar devotion is a summary study of the bhakti rasamrita sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, sadh darshanam akhya vina katha nahita vishwakripa karimore shunana krishna katha. Gopal said, I'm not going to repeat the poem that Gopal just sent to me. It's too pointed. Chandrasekhar continued, there's no talk at Varanasi other than the discussion on the six philosophical theses. Nonetheless, Tapan Mishra has been very kind to me, for he speaks about topics relating to Lord Krishna. At least there's two devotees there. So these are the six darshans. First one is Vaisheshika, propounded by Kanada Rishi. This is a type of atomism. I'm not going to get into the whole description of that. Nyaya, propagated or propounded by Gautama Rishi. Nyaya is actually logic and reason, trying to figure out everything by not logic and reason. Now, these different darshans are not mutually exclusive, because nyaya, or logic and reasoning, is applied in many of the other darshans, but they come in pairs, Vaisheshika and nyaya. And then there's yoga, or mysticism, propounded by Patanjali Rishi. That's yam, niyam, asana, prachahara, asana, pranayama, yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, prachahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So, the Eightfold Yoga System. And that's paired up with the philosophy of Sankhya, propounded by Kapila Rishi. Sankhya means, basically the word means to count, really to delineate all the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, your active senses, your perceptive senses. And ultimately, the soul, the super soul, anyway, and the objects of the senses, I left those out. And then finally you have the Karma Mimamsa, propounded by Jaimini Rishi. Karma Mimamsa means if you act nicely, you'll get a good result. Everything is karma. And that's similar to the philosophy propounded by Krishna when he was joking with his father before the Govardhan Puja worship, when he was trying to dissuade his father from worshiping Indra. Anyway, you can read about that in the Krishna book. Karma Mimamsa means, even if there is God, or demigods, if you act nicely, they have to act. You know, it's just like if you follow the law, the police have to follow the law. Hopefully, they follow the law. If you're not speeding, the police can't give you a ticket. Hopefully. Anyway, it's like Karma Mimamsa. And number six is called Uttara Mimamsa. It's the philosophy of Brahma Mimamsa, which is the same thing, or Vedanta, the ultimate conclusion of the absolute truth. Janmat Yasha Yataha, Bhagavatam 1.1.1, propounded by Advaita Vyas. And actually, there's two types, just to get a little more specific, two types of Vedanta philosophy. One is the impersonal, one is the personal aspects of the Vedanta philosophy. And the personal aspect is more complete. Actually, Vedanta philosophy is meant for the devotees, because in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 15 of another famous verse, Lord Krishna says, Vedanta krit Vedavid eva chaham. I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Krishna. And consequently, Krishna is the compiler of Vedanta philosophy. Therefore, Krishna clearly knows the purport of Vedanta philosophy. What does the word Vedanta mean? Veda means knowledge. Anta means end. Like at the end or the conclusion of all knowledge. The highest knowledge. The perfect knowledge. The tattvas. Okay. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, whoever hears Vedanta philosophy from Krishna is actually aware of the real meaning of Vedanta. Vedanta krid Veda vid eva chaham. The Mayavadis call themselves Vedantists, but do not at all understand the purport of Vedanta philosophy. Not being properly educated, people in general think that Vedanta means the Shankarite interpretation. Shankarite refers to Shankaracharya, who was Lord Shiva, who came down to give an impersonal interpretation of the Vedic literatures. The reason he did that was he wanted to bring people away from Buddhism. And in Buddhism, they were actually interested in Nirvishesha. Shunyavadi, voidism. So he wanted to bring people back with the sort of covered Buddhism, something very, very similar, so they would begin to accept the Vedic literatures again, so that later on Lord Chaitanya and the other Acharyas could bring people back full circle to the Vedas with the right understanding. What is the right understanding? Vedanta vid, eva vid, eva chaham. That Krishna's the knower of the Vedas. Krishna's to be known by the Vedas. Okay. But you have to become Krishna's devotee, because Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. You cannot understand the Vedas without becoming Krishna's devotee, because it's revealed knowledge. It's vijnana. Nirantara dunhe chinti tamara chanana savagya yashvara tumi dila darashana. My dear Lord, we too think of your lotus feet incessantly. That means without stopping. All the time. Although you are the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have granted us your audience. Shuni Mahaprabhu Yamena Sri Vrindavane Dina Katarahitara Vritcha Dvijane. My Lord, I've heard that you were going to Vrindavan. Please stay here at Varanasi for some days and deliver us, for we are your two servants. Although Chandrasekhar is an eternal servant of the Lord, he humbly presented himself as fallen, and therefore he requested the Lord to deliver him and Tapan Mishra, his two servants. Mishra kahe prabhu yavat kashite rahiva morar namantra navinanya namaniva. Tapan Mishra then said, my dear Lord, as long as you stay at Varanasi, please do not accept any invitation other than mine. He's greedy for the mercy. Hey, Mata Mahaprabhu, Dvi Vritchera Vashe, Ichanahi Tabutata, Rahilitina Dashe. Even though he had not made such a plan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 10 days at Varanasi, being obligated by the requests of his two servants. Maharashtriya Vipayase, Prabhu Deki Bhare, Prabhura Rupa Prema Deki Haya Chamatkare. At Varanasi, there was a Maharashtrian Brahmin who used to come daily to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Brahmin was simply astonished to see the Lord's personal beauty and ecstatic love for Krishna. Viprasava nimantriya prabhu nahi mane prabhu kai ajimora anache nimantrane. When the brahmanas of Varanasi would invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lunch, the Lord would not accept their invitations. He would reply, I've already been invited somewhere else. Because he made the promise he would only take a Tapan Mishra's house. Emato prati dina karena vanchana Sanyasira Sangha Bayeda Manena Nimantrana. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused their invitations because he feared associating with Mayavadi sannyasis. I don't want to associate with these Mayavadis. Ew. A Vaishnava sannyasi never accepts an invitation from a party who considers Mayavadi sannyasis and Vaishnava sannyasis to be one and the same. In other words, Vaishnava sannyasis do not like, not at all like to associate with Mayavadi sannyasis, to say nothing of eating with them. This principle must be followed by the sannyasis of the Krishna conscious movement. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given by his personal behavior. Of course, Lord Chaitanya also said the quality of a Vaishnava is a satsanga chag, a Vaishnava char, that a Vaishnava gives up bad. So what's bad association? Materialistic association. And those who are directly against Krishna, and of all those two bad types of association, the worst association is the association of those who were directly blaspheming, criticizing, minimizing, misunderstanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prakashananda Shipada Sapate Vasiha Vedanta Padana Bahu Shisha. There was a great Mayavadi sannyasi named Prakashananda Saraswati. He used to teach Vedanta philosophy to a great assembly of followers. Shripad Prakashananda Saraswati was a Mayavadi sannyasi, and his characteristics have been described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Maja Khanda, Chapter 3. Hastapada Mukamora Nahika Lochana Vedamore Matakare Vidambana Kashite Padayaveta Pakashananda Seveta Kari Mora Anga Kanda Kanda Vakhanye Veda Mora Vigraha Namane Sarvange Haila Kushta Tabunahi Jane Sarva Yinya Maya Mora Ye Anga Pavitra Ajababa Arigaya Yanhara Charitra Punya Pavitrata Payaye Anga Pashe Taha Mitya Bale Veta Kemane Sahase. In the Majjhikanda, chapter 20, it is said, Sanyasi Prakashananda Vasie Kashite Mori Kanda Kanda Veta Karivala Mate Padaya Vedanta Mora Vigraha Namane Kushta Karail Karailunange Tabunahi Jane Sachamora Lila Karma Sachamora Stana Iha Mityavale More Kari Kan Kan. Being an impersonalist, Prakashananda Saraswati used to explain the absolute truth as being without hands, legs, mouth, or eyes. Prabhupada said, if you say the absolute truth is without hands, legs, mouth, or eyes, that's a big insult. It's like saying that someone is blind, dumb, crippled, anyway, stupid. That is actually a great insult against God. We don't like to hear that. We become upset when we hear that. In this way, he used to cheat the people by denying the personal form of the Lord. Such a foolish person was Prakashananda Saraswati, whose only business was to sever the limbs of the Lord by proving the Lord impersonal. Although the Lord has formed, Prakashananda Saraswati attempted to cut off the hands and legs of the Lord. This is the business of demons. The Vedas state the people who do not accept the Lord's form are rascals. The form of the Lord is factual, for Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 15. Vedais jasava rahami bhavedyaha. When Krishna says aham, he says I am, which means I, the person. He adds the word eva, which is used for conclusive verification. Thus, by studying Vedanta philosophy, one must come to know the Supreme Person. Whoever describes Vedic knowledge as impersonal is a demon. One becomes successful in life by worshiping the form of the Lord. The Mayavadi sannyasis deny the form of the Lord, which delivers all fallen souls. Indeed, the Mayavadi demons try to cut this form to pieces. Now, again, I'm going to explain Prabhupada's use of the word demons. It doesn't mean like you were coming upon Halloween, you know, people with like long fangs and eat human flesh, and, you know, and devils and things like that. It just means people who are against God. It's a very heavy pejorative word. The personality of Godhead is worshipped by exalted demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. The original Mayavadi sannyasi, Shankaracharya, also accepted the fact that the Lord's form is transcendental. Narayana Paro Vyaktat. Narayana, the supreme personality of Godhead, is beyond the avyakta, the unmanifested material energy. Avyaktat Anasambhavat. The material world is a creation of that unmanifested material energy. However, Narayan has his own eternal form, which is not created by the material energy. Simply by worshipping the form of the Lord, one is purified. However, the Mayavadi sannyasis are impersonalist philosophers, and they describe the form of the Lord as Maya or false. How can one be purified by worshipping something false? Mayavadi philosophers have no sufficient reason for being impersonalist. They blindly follow a principle that cannot be supported by reason or argument. This was the situation with Prakashananda Saraswati, the chief Mayavadi sannyasi of Benares. He was supposed to teach Vedanta philosophy, but he would not accept the form of the Lord. Therefore, he was attacked with leprosy. Nonetheless, he continued to commit sins by describing the absolute truth as impersonal. The absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, always displays pastimes and activities, but Mayavadi sannyasis claim that these activities are false. Some people falsely claim that Prakashananda Saraswati later became known as Prabodhananda Saraswati, but this is not a fact. Prabodhananda Saraswati was the uncle and spiritual master of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. In his grahastha life, Prabodhananda Saraswati was a resident of Sriranga Kshetra, and he belonged to the Vaishnava Ramanuja Sampradaya. It is a mistake to consider Prakashananda Saraswati and Prabodhananda Saraswati the same man. Very important point. Eka vipradeki aila prabhura vyavahara prakashananda gekahi charitra tanhara A Brahmin who saw the wonderful behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Prakasananda Saraswati and described the Lord's characteristics. Eka sannyasi, aila jagannatha haite, tan haramahima pratapa na parivarnite. The Brahmin had told Prakashananda Saraswati, there is a sannyasi who has come from Jagannath Puri and I cannot describe the wonderful his wonderful influence and glories. Sakala dekiye tante aguta katana prakanda shadira shuddha kanchana varana. Everything is wonderful about that sannyasi. He has a very well-built and luxuriant body and his complexion is like purified gold. Ajannulambita puja kamala nayana yatakichu ishvara sarasalakshana. He has arms that extend to his ears and his eyes are like petals of a lotus. In his person are all the transcendental symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tahateki gyanakaya enarayana yedhanrideki kari krishna sankirtana. When one sees all these features, one takes him to be Narayana himself. Whoever sees him immediately begins to chant the holy name of Krishna. Mahabhagavata lakshana shuni bhagavate se sabalakshana prakata dekiye tanhate. We have heard about the symptoms of a first-class devotee in Srimad Bhagavatam, and all those symptoms are manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nirantara Krishna Nama Jiva Tanragaya Dvi Netraya Shuvahe Ganga Dara Praya. His tongue is always chanting the holy name of Krishna, and from his eyes tears incessantly fall like the flowing of the Ganges. Shane nache hasigaya kari krandana shane hung hung kara kare singhera garjana. Sometimes he dances, laughs, sings, and cries, and sometimes he roars like a lion. Jagat mangala tanra krishna chaitanya nama nama rupa guna tanra sava anupama. His name Krishna Chaitanya is all auspicious for the world. Everything about him, his name, form, and qualities is unparalleled. Dekile se jani tanra ishwarara riti oloki kata kata shunike kari pratiti. Simply by seeing him, one understands that he possesses all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such characteristics are certainly uncommon. Who can believe it? All right, so tomorrow we will continue with Prakashananda Saraswati's response, which is not so nice. So today we read from 86 to 114 in chapter 17. So tomorrow we will continue to be continued. So now I'm going to unmute you all. So several things. I'm going to unmute you all and allow you to ask questions, raise your hands, or type in the chat window. And then for the last 2 or 3 minutes of the class, I promised a devotee that I would read her Vyasapuja homage. So I promised, and I will do that today during the last few minutes of this exposition. Okay. So, get ready. Oh, Rakesh, you already unmuted yourself. That's pretty fast. Okay, so what's the question?
Good day. My question is, Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Lord Krishna, but he is not a Vishnu.
That's right. He's not Vishnu Tattva, he's Jiva Tattva. He's an empowered incarnation. That's the question? Yeah, he's empowered incarnation. And the word Vyas means to divide. So he divided the Vedas. Originally one Veda. First he divided into four. Samaveda, Yajurvedha, and Rig Veda. Four. It was originally one Veda. Divided into four. Let me mute you. And then after that, he presented the Upanishads, the Itihasas, the histories, and eventually the Srimad Bhagavatam. Histories means Mahabharata and Ramayana. So, Miss Craddock, you have a question.
No, they all just came in the same box. So I grabbed them up.
I think she unmuted herself accidentally. Okay, so she got the same question. I just muted her. Okay. Who else has a question or a comment?
No, it's on your bed.
I can't hear you.
No.
I gotta mute her because she keeps accidentally unmuting herself. Okay, who has a question? Paying obeisance to the deities in the temple while they rest, is this impersonalism? No. It's impersonalism. Just quietly pay obeisances. Don't go. Wake up! Way up, Krishna. That's really bad. Yeah, why not? Why would paying obeisance to the deities in the temple while they rest in impersonalism? I usually, when I enter the temple, I'll tell you what I do. When I enter the temple, I pay obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, and I won't go up to the altar and pay obeisances because the deities aren't open. When they open, then I pay obeisances. That's all. Otherwise, I just pay obeisances to Prabhupada and Tulsi Devi. She keeps unmuting herself. So, Gopal Cohen.
Please send my obeisances, Gurudev.
Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about, or Prabhupada was talking in the purport about Varanasi being a pilgrimage place for those who worship the Panchopasana, but if those who worship the Panchopasana are impersonalists and they think that everything is illusion, what do they need with places of pilgrimage?
Well, the reason they worship the Panchopasana, it just helps. Their concept is that you can worship anything, actually, basically, but it helps them worship something greater than themselves, you know, that many god type of Hinduism type of concept. So they can eventually fix their mind and understand everything is one. It's interesting, when you have many gods, it ultimately leads to impersonalism. It's a stepping stone to impersonalism. And that's why they have Panchopasana, because many gods mean no god. That's what Prabhupada said in his purport anyway. Many gods means no god. It also means you can pick whatever god you want to worship according to what you need. It's like a Walmart. Many Hindu temples are like Walmarts that you can just, like, you know, depending on your need, you worship a particular entity, a particular god. And when you walk into the temple, sometimes they say, the gods. So that's the reason. For further information, I suggest you ask them the question. So, okay, another. Madhava, so what's the question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. So, as Gopal Prabhu was asking why it is Kashi called the pilgrimage place, so since it is established by Lord Shiva, that's what the description we know, and Lord Shiva is described as the one of the greatest Vaishnava, so it is rightly a pilgrimage place, isn't it?
Yes, it is likely a pilgrimage place to one of the greatest devotees, but the followers of Lord Shiva generally misunderstand Lord Shiva's directions or Lord Shiva's instructions. That's the problem.
There was description when we were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually Vishnu has come there in Benares.
Yeah, there's the Bindu Madhava deity in Benares.
Right.
So even in Lord Shiva's place, there's a there's deity of Bindu Madhava. And you'll find in India the Shaivites and Vaishnavites sometimes have these conflicts, especially if you go to Kanchi. in South India, you'll find there's Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi, and they actually fight with each other. Not fight like this, but they fight philosophically with each other. And generally, the followers of Lord Shiva, they are impersonalists, generally, the followers. Not always. Sometimes some of the followers accept Lord Shiva as God. They're called the Nayanaras in South India, especially in South India.
Yeah, because Lord Ram actually, sometimes the reciprocation, he calls, he's my master, Lord Shiva. So a reciprocation of Lord with his devotee, sometimes he's worse. I mean, that's what he did in Rameswaram, right?
Rameswaram, there's different ways of interpreting the Sanskrit. One is that Lord Shiva is Ram's devotee. Another one, the same statement is that Ram is Lord Shiva's devotee. So,
And
the Lord actually worships his devotees anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. We find that, for example, you even have Sudama Brahman going to visit Krishna in Dwarka.
Yes.
And Sudama Brahman and Rukmini are actually, Rukmini and Krishna are bathing the feet of Sudama Brahman. So yes. Krishna worships his own devotees, which is interesting. Mm. Krishna bows down at the feet of Srimati Radharani and cries and begs her for forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's nice. Okay, one other question, and then I'm going to read this offering, which I promised this devotee I would read out loud for everyone. Hare Krishna Gurudev. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati are mentioned in Adi Lila chapter 70. Yes, this is the same pastime that's mentioned. It's the same Prakashananda Sarasati, he's a Mayavadi sannyasi, and later on we'll see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated him and his followers through some little tricks and also philosophy. And now I am going to read what I promised I would read. This is a very nice offering that one of my disciples wrote. Let me find it. It's here somewhere. Here it is. And I promised her I would read it. So during my darkest hours, you've always come to my aid and blasted the darkness with light, leaving an illuminated space. You've turned my evenings to daylight, made the sun shine within and dispel a cloudy day, pacified the fire that was always raging, encouraged the heart to beat with love when it felt lifeless and broken, pulled out the stubborn weeds to make room for little flowers to blossom, held on for dear life when the storms hit, which was often, kept the boat afloat, steered the ship away from the incoming rough terrain, held a safe space for the heart to express all the pain, tolerated, listened, and listened and tolerated, but this is just the beginning, just hearing the sound vibration of your voice, whether in a song or speech, creates a secret opening in my heart, unconditional love just pours in, cleansing all the debris, like the rain, unperturbed, loving washing over a bitumen road. That's a paved road. After a traffic-heavy day, it's the most amazing feeling I've ever felt in my life. Thank you for always showing up and making room for me in your life. You have so many disciples, yet I always feel like I am your first priority. I'm so grateful. Thank you for always answering my queries, concerns, dilemmas, putting up with me in general, and my insistent WhatsApp messages. At 3 a.m. in the morning, not my 3 a.m., her 3 a.m. I am so grateful. Thank you for reading every word I write and consistently being there for me in all seasons, moods, and spices, you name it. I am so grateful. I am so blessed to have your association, Gurudev. I pray that I can be purified enough to have some of your beautiful qualities of tolerance, patience, unconditional love, devotion, compassion, empathy, humbleness, kindness, inner wisdom, trust, resilience, to name just a few. You are a friend to everyone and everyone's friend. Everyone wants a little keepsake of you in their life, but I feel like I hold the biggest piece. I always tell you to give up on me, and your response is always the same, never. It truly warms my heart. Thank you for showing me what true love is, even though sometimes I struggle to accept it. I know that it's a special kind of connection I have with you. I'm so grateful. Most importantly, thank you for being the greatest spiritual father I could ever have and hope for. My life is so meaningful with you in it. When life just gives me sour lemons, You make the sweetest lemonade full of hope, joy, happiness, and a touch of some sparkly bubbles. I always wanted to have a father like you. My wish came true, and I got a second chance in life, even though I often take it for granted. I'm so grateful. Happiest of Vyas Pujas to you. I pray that you will always be in good health and always remain your happy, lighthearted self. I also pray that I can continually have your association. Your half-purified rebel daughter. So that's very nice. Okay, I promised her I would read that, and it's very nice and encouraging, and I'm very happy that I can help the devotees in spiritual life, you know, and encourages me. I mean, one may say, well, just praise. Well, it's not just praise, it's actually reciprocation for helping devotees, and devotees should give each other reciprocation, because my life is dedicated to helping the devotees, and when I hear I can help devotees, I am happy. That makes me happy. And I'm not interested in my own glorification, but I'm interested in helping devotees and hearing how I help devotees. Okay, on that happy note, we will see you all tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.